Tonight in your Bibles, please, 1 Corinthians chapter 12.
Thank you, Brother Alvin.
And I had thought about maybe just saying a word in passing about this. I've dealt with it a couple times. We dealt with this in pretty great detail over two or three messages as we were preaching through 1 Corinthians. When we came to this chapter, we talked about this particular subject. But I want to deal with it tonight in the context of spiritual gifts. That's what we're talking about. And God said it is a gift to the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10. Well, let's go back to verse number 8, just for the context here. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits. And then we come to the gift we're looking at tonight, to another diverse kinds of tongue, to another the interpretation of tongues. So tonight, as you can see by your notes there, we're dealing with the gift of tongues and the interpretation of tongues. You may infer by the reading of the text that it's two separate gifts, but it's really one in the same. So we're dealing with these issues together. An old American lady was touring London as part of a group. They were in Westminster Abbey, and the very proper English guide was pointing out the magnificent tombs, the architecture, and other features of that great church. This dear woman was not impressed. When she'd heard all that she wanted to about the aesthetic value of that church, she interrupted the guide and she said, "Young man, stop your babbling for a moment and tell me, has anyone been saved here lately?" And really, when we talk about this gift of tongues and the interpretation of tongues, we need to go back to the foundation that we laid for all of the gifts, and we'll mention this a couple of times probably tonight, but the purpose of all the gifts, and in particular this gift in particular, is to authenticate the gospel message. Whatever gift it is that you possess, whichever one, you ought to use it for the purpose of bringing others to Jesus through the church. And I believe that the test of the proper use of the gift of tongues and the interpretation of tongues, the test of the proper use is the answer to that question. How many have been saved as a result? How many have been saved as a result? So as we have been, let's begin with a good definition. It's always important to note the language and the context of the gifts. That's why many times we'll go back and read the entire passage concerning spiritual gifts in that chapter before we deal with a specific verse or specific part of a verse. So we need to look at the context. And by the way, we should always look at the context.
Amen.
In any passage.
Amen.
Any text taken out of context is nothing but pretext. You can say you can make the Word of God say anything you want to.
Yep.
If you read it out of context. For example.
Yes.
The Bible says Judas went out and hanged himself. Jesus said, "Go and do thou likewise." We could build a doctrine on that. We could make our own pact. See, it's in the Bible. Judas went out and hanged himself. Go and do thou likewise. Well, there's a few verses between that. Between those two. In fact, Jesus said, "Go and do thou likewise," before it says Judas went out and hanged himself. So, we've got to look at the context. I mentioned Sunday, or maybe it was last Wednesday, and it wasn't to flatter him, but I appreciated hearing Brother Montgomery speak at our men's breakfast. And he spoke just yesterday morning. And I knew it was going to be a good one. And more than half of what he said was Scripture. He gave us a little handout of the points he was making, and it was, I think, 3 or 4 pages long, and probably 2/3 to 3/4 of it was Scripture verses. And the rest of it, maybe 1 or 2 sentences or 1 or 2 paragraphs, were his thoughts. And he traced an Old Testament passage to a New Testament passage. He read what the New Testament said, and then he traced it back to the Old Testament context. I appreciate that, brother. I've shared that with you before. And we always try to do that as well. We always try to go back to, what does the Scripture say? What is the original intent? What is the original meaning? Sometimes my family teases me about doing that, about going back to the originals and the Hebrew and the Greek. And I'm by no means a scholar, but I know enough to study. And I know enough to get a blessing out of studying the original language.
Yeah.
It speaks to my heart. So we need to do the same thing in studying these gifts. We need to look at the context. And when you look at the context in the Word of God of this, the use of this gift of tongues, there can only be one conclusion, and it's not the conclusion that many draw today. A lot of times we shy away from talking about this because we don't want to be labeled as one of those people or one of those churches. But I think if we look at it biblically, we'll have a clearer understanding. If we study the context of every occurrence of the use of tongues in the New Testament for a balanced view of the subject, then we'll understand the experience, for example, of the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, was obviously one of me speaking my native tongue, and you, who may not speak that language, hearing in your own language.
Amen.
For example, and I don't do this well, but me speaking Spanish, and you hearing in English. Or me speaking in English and you hearing in German. I'm not speaking German, but you're hearing it in German. That was Most commonly, there are a couple other instances that we'll look at, but most commonly, when the Bible talks about speaking in tongues, that's what it was. It was a known language. You say, well, Pastor, the Bible calls it an unknown tongue. Yes, unknown to the listener. You don't speak Spanish. I'm speaking Spanish, but you hear it in English, or whatever it is. That's the biblical definition for the gift of tongues. Let me make sure that I'm hitting what I have in the notes here. I haven't even gotten there yet. I'll get there. The travelers in Jerusalem each heard the mighty the word of God in their own tongues. Acts 2 verse 11 says, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongue.
Yes.
The wonderful works of God. So they spoke in their tongue, you heard in your tongue. With language not being a barrier to the gospel, 3,000 people were saved.
Amen.
It was an evangelistic experience. And by the way, when Peter preached, he wasn't preaching in King James English. He was preaching in Greek, maybe Arabic.
Amen.
But everybody heard in their own language. The Corinthian experience of tongues, we read about here, that was obviously something different. Because the Bible said that along with the gift of tongues, there is the gift of the interpretation of tongues. So when they were speaking in this context, there needed to be an interpreter. Somebody to interpret what was being said. Much like if I were to go down to Mexico or South America, or I were to go over to Germany and I preached in English, somebody who speaks English and German, or English and Spanish, or English and whatever language in the native tongue is, I preach in English, they translate it to their language. And I preached through an interpreter one time. And after the service, I went to the guy that was interpreting for me, and I said, you didn't repeat what I said, did you? He said, of course I did, Pastor. Of course I did, Preacher. I said, then how come I said three words and you said 300 words? He said, well, maybe I was preaching a little bit my own message too. But I said what you said. The context in other places is not evangelistic. And in those cases, Paul urged the readers to pursue love, or pursue grace, or pursue something else. Don't focus on the speaking in tongues. There appear to be two cases of speaking in tongues in the book of Acts. In chapter 10, the problem of whether or not Gentiles could be saved had surfaced. When these new converts began to speak in tongues, the Jewish Christians recognized this as a sign from heaven that indeed Gentiles could be saved. In Acts 19:26, or 19:6, when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. Some former disciples of John the Baptist at Ephesus were being confronted with the gospel of Jesus Christ. As a sign to them of the authenticity of the gospel, they began to speak in tongues and to prophesy. In both of these incidents in the book of Acts, tongue served as a sign of evangelism. So let me give you the definition here that I listed. Tongues, or literally Glossolalia is literally kinds of tongues. Kinds of tongues. The word tongue can refer to the organ of speech in your mouth, your tongue. It could be referring to a language. The organ of speech, a language, or ecstatic speech. Ecstatic speech. It could be the organ of speech, your tongue, a language, or it could be ecstatic speech. Ecstatic speech. Each use of the word needs to be studied in context. And then I'll just deal with this quickly, talking about the interpretation of tongues. That simply means explaining. Explain what was heard. Explain. And a lot of times it's done by the same person. But the scripture says, especially in Corinthians, that if there's no interpreter, then it wasn't biblical. There must have been an interpreter. And secondly, and I'm not trying to be chauvinistic about this, but women couldn't do it. Women couldn't speak in tongues, and there had to be an interpreter. All right. Good definition. Then let's look at some good examples. Well, let me just say this before we move on. A lot of attention is given to this thing of speaking in tongues today. We should note that in all of his letters, Paul mentioned tongues in only one of them. In all 12 or 13 or 14 epistles that Paul wrote, he only talked about tongues in one of them. And that was because it was a problem in the church that led to spiritual pride in the church at Corinth. And for three chapters, Paul played down tongues and encouraged them, just love one another. Just love one another. All right, let's move on here. Some good examples. Our example thus far, our primary example, has been, of course, the Lord Jesus. He's the model we ought to look to for using these gifts biblically. How did he do it? Well, there's no record that Jesus ever spoke in tongues. Not even at his baptism when the Holy Spirit came upon him. The only time that any mention of tongues is ever attributed to Jesus is in the controversial ending of Matthew chapter 16. Those last several verses, verses 9 through 20, which if you have a new translation, those verses aren't there. If they are, it's just a footnote saying these verses were not in the original manuscripts. They were not in the original autographs. Well, I'm confident that they were. And the reason they say that they were not there is because it destroys a lot of New Age doctrine and new evangelical teaching. Those last several verses of the Gospel of the Gospel of Mark, the last several verses of chapter 16 just rip to shreds a lot of things that they believe and teach. So they explain it away by saying, well, those verses weren't in the original writings. There are three types of tongues that occur in the book of Acts. Each time they serve to authenticate the gospel and to overcome barriers to evangelism. I think probably if you read the epistles of Paul, he thought that the type of tongues that they were speaking in the church at Corinth should serve as a sign to the Jews that God was not using that church. The church at Corinth had a lot of issues. They had a lot of problems. And Paul wrote three letters to address that. Two of them are recorded in the scripture. But he refers to another letter also that he wrote. And we'll get to that in our preaching through 2 Corinthians that we're doing on Sunday afternoons. So, let's just kind of sum all that up under this section. And tongues, at its best, seems to have been a sign gift to reinforce the Great Commission and to urge Christians to cross all barriers with the gospel. In the book of Acts, tongues was always on the frontier of the gospel. And don't forget Paul, who claimed that he could speak in tongues better than any of the Corinthians, was a pioneer missionary. So his purpose was to preach the gospel. So if he used the gift of tongues, he did so to help him proclaim the gospel more clearly. All right, let's look at this last part. We're talking about using the gifts of tongues. Let's talk about a good use of the gift of tongues. One question that haunts our modern churches is this: are there authentic tongues manifest today? Or to put it differently, do I believe that the gift of tongues is in operation in the church today? I believe the answer to that is no. There may be those who disagree with me, and that's fine. But as I said a moment ago, and also when we were preaching through 1 Corinthians and came to this chapter, chapter 12, when we were teaching through the book of Acts in Sunday school a year or so ago, tongues was a sign gift that was given to the church at a particular time and for a particular purpose. But Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. 14 or 15 or 16, right in that area. When that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. And before that, if you look at the context, which is a good thing to do, as we've already mentioned, he was talking about speaking in tongues and some other sign gifts that were given for a particular time. But then he said, when that which is perfect has come, and there's disagreement on this, but I believe what he's referring to is the completion of Scripture. When that which is perfect has come, when we have the whole Word of God, then we don't need those sign gifts anymore, because we've got the Word of God to authenticate the gospel message. When that which is perfect is come, that which is in part will be done away. So I believe that the gift of tongues was a gift for a particular time and for a particular purpose. And the purpose of that and all of the sign gifts was to authenticate the gospel for unbelieving Jews. Amen. That's what it was for. I talked about that a little bit tonight. That when tongues was used in the Bible, there were Jews that were present who needed to understand that the gospel was not just for them anymore, it was also for the Gentiles. Because the Jews believed that the worst thing you could call a man was a Gentile. Or a woman. So I guess the worst thing that you could be called is a Gentile woman. I mean, that was amen. The, you know, the toe jam between your toe jam. The worst thing you could be. So God needed to show them, and he used the Apostle Paul to do it, the Gospels for the Gentiles as well as to the Jews. Now, it was preached to the Jew first. It was preached to the Jew first, but what happened? They rejected it. So God made Paul, who was a Jew, the apostle to the Gentiles. So that was the purpose of these sign gifts, including tongues, was to authenticate the gospel message to the Jew, to let them know the gospel is available to everyone. That's the purpose of all the gifts, to authenticate the gospel. That's why they should all be used. Whatever it is, whether it's, you know, prophecy or prophesying, faith, giving, mercy, discernment, whatever it is, whatever gift that God has given to you, you ought to use it in the church to be a help to the church, in order that we may preach the gospel to a lost and dying world. And may God help us. May God help us. Let's bow for prayer. Thank you, Lord, for the day. Thank you for allowing us to be here.